Why don't you take your Bibles and let's go to Psalm 19. We're looking at a new giant tonight. We are done. Well, we're never done with a giant of guilt, but we're done talking about him at least. All right. So now y'all can just fight him on your own. But we are going to move on to another giant, and I'm not sure how far we will get to start with tonight. Maybe just the introduction. I'm good at that, right? My introductions are entire messages. Sometimes they can be entire series. But we're going to start in Psalm 19. Very familiar passage of Scripture. And we're going to start in verse number 7 and go down to verse number 14. And we are looking at the giant of presumption. The giant of presumption. And it is a real giant. It may not get talked about very much, but presumption, I didn't turn on, did I? He's up there waving me down. I think he's... All right, no heart attacks in the sound booth, okay? If I had kept going, he would have been doing jumping jacks and getting his exercise. But the giant of presumption is one that, as I was saying before, the sound man interrupted me, the giant of presumption is one that doesn't get talked about much, doesn't get referenced very much, because in the light of, the giant of self and the giant of bitterness and the giant of temptation and guilt and all these different ones we've been talking about, presumption just kind of seems to be, I don't know, the baby of the family. We tend to not think of it as really a real big deal. But you realize in the Bible, and you're going to find here in just a moment as well, but in the Bible, in numerous places, presumption or presuming upon things is not just frowned upon, it is extremely warned against. To be presumptuous in the way we act and the things that we think or consider is often, at times it can be the starting point of what leads us down the road that faces more giants. Presuming things can get us into a lot of trouble. Y'all ever had that happen? Have you ever gone about your day presuming everything was going to just be fine? You ever got in your car just, as we're going to see in a minute, assuming or presuming that, it's the way it was the night before when you got in and you take off down the road, next thing you know, something isn't right. And then you find out you never should have gotten on the road in your car without checking because you actually caused more damage with the problem that you ended up with because you should have never left the driveway. But we presume a lot of things. And this giant of presumption is a very dangerous giant, mainly because it seems to be a very... non-threatening giant. It appears to be non-threatening. It appears to be not a big deal, which is how it so easily gets into our lives and causes so much havoc in our Christian walk. But let's look at Psalm 19, verse 7 through verse number 14. And again, very familiar passage. There's actually an entire scripture song that goes along with this passage. We're not going to sing it tonight, but there is one. Starting in verse number 7, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward." We'll revisit verse number 11, especially later on. Verse number 12, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also, here we go, from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. So for a seemingly innocent giant, seemingly no big deal giant, for the Bible to lay out and the psalmist to basically tell us that presumptuous sin, presuming, can be a giant, can be something that has dominion or control over us. That makes it a little more dangerous than we thought. Goes on to say, then shall I be upright and shall be innocent from the great transgression. We'll deal with that in a little while. Verse number 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And so we are going to look at, in an introductory way this evening, going to look at what presumption or presuming is and the danger of it to start with. And then we are going to, as we look at this giant, we're going to look at things that we tend to, in our Christian walk, things we tend to presume that actually lead us to problems. And we'll get them one at a time as we deal with this giant. Let's pray and then we'll look at this. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. I pray that you'd help us as we begin to start the focus on this giant of presumption. Help us to understand a little bit more concerning the dangers of being a child of God who presumes things and assumes that it's okay. But I pray that you'd help us to understand just how, Lord, dangerous and strong this giant can be in our lives, even though it has the appearance of being rather innocent and non-dangerous. I pray that you'd help us to open our eyes to it, reveal to us what we need this evening. We trust you for it in Christ's name. Amen. So assume, what does assume mean? And I'm going to give you some definitions, and then I'm going to give you what I believe Scripture is laying out based off of what these two things are. To assume is to suppose something without reason or evidence. I assume something happened. I have no evidence to prove that it did or didn't. I'm just assuming that it possibly did. Kind of like parents do when it comes to the kids cleaning their room. They just assume it got done. You know, I told them to do it, so I just assume they did it, right? Till you get home and you realize, no, they didn't. Not only did they not clean their room, it actually is worse than when I left this morning. And we often assume things constantly. I'll give you a good example. And these two things are, well, here's, let me give the next definition. And I'll give you this example because it goes better with presuming. So assuming is to suppose something without reason or evidence. To presume something is to suppose something with some probability of evidence. Good example for you right now. I don't know how many, we've been here for 2 years, so I got to go back further than that. Time flies. Probably about 3 to 4 years ago, we often, and I know this is horrible, but we often would get our tires taken care of at Walmart. Many people do that. I'm a little more leery of doing that now. Not a horrible place to get stuff done if you need it done. They may not get it done in a very good, timely manner, but it's not a horrible place to go. But we had to go out the little red Nissan that Katie's driving now. We were driving around, and we had to have a couple of new tires put on and something else taken care of. And so we went and had two more tires put on, and we had to leave it there for just a little bit. Well, we came back and picked it up. Now, we had been to that Walmart numerous times and had work done, the tires aired up, and, you know, plugging a hole from a nail. Because if there's a vehicle going to find a nail, it's going to be that little red Nissan. It's like a magnet for nails. Matter of fact, that I think it was that little red Nissan that it was that or another one. One of the vehicles, my wife actually found a rock. The mower on the side of the road shot a rock straight through the side windshield, the side window. My wife has really bad luck with issues on the road. But we took to back to Walmart. We went to Walmart and dropped it off. They got it fixed. They called us. We went to buy it, and we just picked it up and got back on the road. Now, you know the new cars had the little tire sensors, right? Some of y'all had those tire sensors in your vehicles, and you know when it's solid orange, typically it means it needs some air. And I noticed when we left, it didn't take very long. We started going down the road, and it wasn't solid. It was flashing like it was about to go berserk. I mean, it was flashing, 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 flashing. I'm thinking, what is going on? If it goes blue, I knew that the tire's dead flat. I mean, blue means it's done for, because we already had that happen once. And so I knew, I'm thinking, what is this flashing yellow, like something's about to explode on me? And come to find out, something was about to explode on me. So we stopped and thought, well, I'm going to check the air in my tires. I'll tell you what, this Walmart doesn't even know how to air up tires. I was right about one half of it. They don't know how to air up tires. I don't know how they did this. We pulled into a gas station, and I went over, and first thing I did is just to check how much air is in there so I know how much to put in. And our tire was supposed to have a max of 44 PSI. It's made of little big tires. They're not very big. 44 PSI max. We normally kept around 38 to 40. It had 80. Both it and the one, both on that one side had 80. No, both my front tires. There's a reason why we're going down, we're balancing along the road. But 80 pounds of pressure in these, the smallest tires that I've ever seen in the car. 80 pounds, double what its max pressure. And I just went on the interstate with this thing. And we're rolling down. Thank the Lord he knows how to keep the rubber together, because there's really no reason why it should not have just completely blown with the way the interstates were in Louisiana at times. And going down, it should have exploded. Both front tires should have just gone out. But I tell you that whole thing, an example for this reason. We left Walmart because we have left Walmart many times before, and everything was done right. And we left Walmart just presuming that everything was right. I didn't think to check no tires. I didn't think to go around and see if the whole thing's bulging out the side. I mean, I just thought, hey, I took it to Walmart. I mean, they've got machines that don't let it air. I don't know how they did it, because they do. They have machines that won't let you air up more. You put in what the tire's supposed to have, and the machine does it and stops and won't let you put anything else in. How in the world they got double the pressure in those tires, I don't know. But they did. And I just thought, I just presumed that I left Walmart with everything being right. You know how easily that presumption could have gone very bad? Now, I say that just to help us kind of understand that there are many things in life that we tend to let presumption be our guide. Or assumption. We assume something. There's really no evidence. At least with Walmart, I had some previous experience, and so I just presumed from the previous experience everything was going to be the same as it was before. Assuming is going somewhere new. I've never been there before. I don't know how they operate. Nobody's even given me any kind of idea of the kind of work they do, so I'm just going in fully assuming they're going to do everything right, and I'm going to leave just fine. Now, that's assumption. I have no evidence, nothing to hold on to, nothing to give me a good idea of what might be true or might not. So when you look at these things, we make these assumptions and presumptions in life constantly. Now, the word that we see in Scripture here, where it talks about the use of presumptuous sin, okay, that word presumptuous sin is also a word that means, in equivalence, it means pride and arrogance. Pride and arrogance. So as you look at this in verse number 13, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sin. It is not just the act of presuming, it is the act of allowing pride and arrogance to convince myself I can presume upon what I think something is or what I think is acceptable. It's not even really taking all things into consideration, especially taking God into consideration and who He is and what His Word says. It's really more of taking my own personal opinion into consideration and presuming I can work and act and live upon my opinion. It's the pride and arrogance that ultimately causes the biggest problem in presumption. So, when you look at this word in dealing with presumptuous sins, what kind of sins? Presumptuous sins. That's an adjective, by the way. I remember a little bit from English. But when you're talking about what kind of sin, and you're looking at the definition of assuming and presuming, what those things mean, we can therefore come to a Bible definition that I believe would be intended for us to understand and get across to us would be simply this, according to this passage of Scripture, that presumption, according to verse number 13 in chapter 19 of Psalm, is to arrogantly suppose that something is right or true with such pride as to convince ourselves that there is probability without the need of evidence. So just understand, okay? It is to arrogantly suppose something with such pride as to convince ourselves that there is probability without the need of evidence. So I don't need to have the evidence of what is right and wrong, I just arrogantly presume that it's probably okay because I feel it's going to be okay. Can y'all grasp what we're getting at? Presuming that God's going to be okay with this, not because I'm looking at the evidence of what God says in His Word, but because I don't need that evidence, I'm presuming that it's okay regardless of the evidence. I don't need to listen to the Bible. I think I'm okay with it. Can I give you, and I'm not trying to talk in circles for you, it's one of those things that's not the easiest to fully get across without maybe some other explanations to it. But there are a lot of times when, for an example here, a lot of times when people have, at least in my experience talking with folks, they have said, well, I don't see where there's anything wrong with it. Okay, statements of that nature. Well, I don't have a problem with it. Okay, and now if we're talking about things we like doing or don't like doing, fine. But if we're talking about things where there is actually some biblical principles and there's biblical truth as evidence of right and wrong, and a person is then saying, well, I do it, and I don't think anybody should say anything about it, and I do this because I don't feel there's anything wrong with me doing it. That's presumption. And that's the presumptuous sins to a degree, because that's presuming, regardless of evidence, I don't need evidence, I don't need the book, I don't need to study that out, I don't need to know for sure that the Bible doesn't have a truth set in there that this is wrong. I don't need to hear it. I've already decided for myself that I'm okay with it, and I presume God's going to be fine with that as well. Now, when you see it in that light and you understand that's how oftentimes people can get when it comes to what I want to do and what I like to do and what I think is okay and what I think everybody else should be allowed to do, and that's where you get society saying, well, what's wrong with you, you people who can't accept, and I'm just going to be blunt, all right? You can't accept gay marriage, and you can't accept these people love each other, and you don't even know what real love is because that's real love. Now watch what's happening. They are presuming that their definition of love is the only right definition of love while ignoring God's word. That is presumptuous sin. Now, I know that's an extreme form in the cases we're talking about, but we often presume many things. And some of them that seem real small in our lives are actually presumptuous sins, because if we really looked at God's word, we would give the Holy Spirit a chance to bring about conviction as to what is truth. Not what is how I feel about it. And no, how do I think it is? What do I think I can live with? No. What does the Bible say? What does the Holy Spirit convince me of? What is God, through his word and through my time of walking and talking with him and letting him teach me and give me wisdom, what are the things the Holy Spirit brings about that nagging conviction? And he says, this is truth. This is truth. This is an area I want you to work on. This is an area that's not helping you. I know you might like it, but it definitely is not taking you the right way. The Holy Spirit can really bug us sometimes. You ever noticed? I mean, there are just some times that, I'll be honest with you, there have been some times I've opened up my Bible and started reading, and as soon as I started reading, I'm like, nope, moving on, something else, okay. He's like, no, not the preacher. Yes, the preacher, because I really didn't feel like being convicted at that moment. And I got two verses in, and God said, oh, I took you right to the right place tonight. You need that one. I mean, there are just some times, listen, this, I might be a preacher, but I'm still robed in flesh. I still get irritated like everybody else gets irritated. I still have things I want to say to people like everybody else wants to say to people. And I have times where I'm that close to doing it, and then I open up the Bible and God ruins every bit of it. Have you ever thought, just this one time will be okay? I'm not talking about drugs and all that kind of stuff that people use. No, I'm just talking about simple things. Just letting somebody know what I think about that. Just giving them a piece of my mind. Just one time is okay. Just one time I'm justified in doing it. Just one time, they'll get over it. And if it's wrong, I'll ask God to forgive me. That's presuming. That's presuming. The whole idea that we can do what we want to do it's easier to ask forgiveness than to ask permission. Yet doing that with God means you're presuming he's going to be okay and just say, oh, that's no big deal. No, we have to be very careful with presumption, because it happens all too often. We will see this form, and in life we see this form of presumption played out continually in front of our eyes, and often sometimes within our own mindsets, such as, you ever had somebody say, or even thought of it yourself, well, you can't convince me of that. Now watch. Here's the thing I will present. But maybe I actually could convince you of what's right and what's wrong. Maybe I could convince you of the evidence that is there biblically if you were open to the facts. However, you've closed that option down. And so therefore, technically, you're right. I can't convince you because you won't listen. Now, that's a presuming of, I'm presuming that I've already got it figured out, so therefore I'm not even going to listen to what's going on or the evidence, such as things that are happening even in today's time frame, even with election stuff, and even, listen, there's a whole bunch of things going on, and there are some, it's on both sides. Listen, in the political realm, all sides lie. Have you figured that out? Okay. Oh, no, we got that truth. Our guy tells the truth. No, he doesn't. Every single one of them know how to read the crowd, and they tell the crowd what they want to hear. Every single one knows who they're dealing with when they're talking, and they will do whatever needs to be done and say whatever needs to be said to rile that crowd up and get them all excited. It's a pep rally every time. Nothing has to be true for people to fall head over heels for whatever's being said, especially when people have already convinced themselves that they understand. They already know I don't need evidence. I already know what's right. That's presumption. How about this? Well, I don't care what anybody says. Really? You should care, because you may be completely wrong. Possibly about the person you think you know, or the situation you think you know all about. When we have or we see these kind of things being said, it ultimately comes down to a presumption. I'm wrong. I'm right. I'm already predetermined to be right, and therefore everybody else is wrong. You can be right if you agree with me. Listen, that is the nature, and you see it so much today that it's now reached a point where I believe I'm right, and you're wrong to say anything against me and say that I'm wrong. I'm so right that if you say I'm wrong, you're wrong by my own declaration. That's the way we live. No one has the right to tell me I am wrong. By the way, according to this book, every single day I find something where I'm wrong. According to ultimate truth, every single day when I line myself up with this book, when I line myself up to the principles of this book, I find somewhere where I'm wrong. It might be in my attitude. It might be in my mentalities. It might even be in something that I thought I had figured out. You ever gone to the Word of God and something that you've read time and time and time again, you thought you, matter of fact, you were taught this and you believed it 100%, and then you read the Bible and it's like, hold on a second. I thought so-and-so, one guy, it's happened to my dad. My dad was talking to a man, and he had really, really long hair, and you could tell he was really proud of it. And he was wanting to grow, and he was just getting into church and had gotten saved, was wanting to grow and wanting to do right. And so my dad was talking with me. He said, I just don't understand. People keep talking about men having long hair, how it's not good for men to have long hair. Doesn't the Bible say that a man's mane is his pride? No. Okay. But he was completely distraught because he was so conflicted. The Bible says that my hair is my, you know, it's a good thing. It's a thing to be proud of. And it's like, no, it doesn't. I mean, but he was so convinced, but he never actually looked for the truth. He never looked to find it. He was already pre-convinced and presumed that what he thought about the Bible was right. That's dangerous. Very dangerous. But we do it all the time. There's numerous times I've gone through. Brother Schmidt, have you ever preached something when you were younger? And then, never. Dr. Schmidt, never. But you ever preached something when you were younger and then come back around to it years later and you're studying it? You're like, I was gonna re-preach some of this, but I got to rewrite the whole thing because, man, where did I get that from? Or you start looking, you realize that it may not have been error, but it was really shallow. You thought it was deep, and then you find out years later as the Lord has grown you and matured you in the Word of God, and you just seen more and more, and all of a sudden, now you're seeing a passage of Scripture, and it's like, man, I thought I had it figured out. I realized I had nothing figured out. I've got to relook at this again. I presumed upon my own knowledge. Dangerous presumption. We make presumptions concerning situations when we don't even have the facts. You hear something on the news about a police shooting, we make a presumption. Oh, there they go again. Hold on. Presumption, 100%. We don't even, well, I saw it on TV. They posted it on Facebook. Yeah. The edited version, which can produce a whole bunch of various outlooks on what really took place. But we presume we have the facts. Y'all ever gotten a nice juicy piece of gossip? and presumed that it was a reliable source, and then proceeded to ask for prayer requests, and we need to pray for so-and-so. Oh, they're having a rough time. I heard that this is about to happen in their house. I mean, I'm serious. Churches can be the most dangerous gossip sessions if you're not careful. I said, "Preacher, how are you getting off on this?" I don't know. The rabbit ran out, and so I shot at him. But it really is. We can presume something we hear, especially if we think we know a person and then we hear something that kind of lines up with what we think we know. It doesn't have to actually be any evidence of truth. It just lines up with what I've already preconceived concerning them. And so therefore, I'm right. See, I told you. And then later on we found out, no, we're completely wrong. That person lied about them. And my mentality of who that person is so far off. I'm the one that's wrong. I'm the one causing the problem. We've got to be very careful. Proverbs 18, verse number 13 says this: "He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him." Presumption is answering and getting involved in before ever really having the actual facts. And honestly, not even really needing the actual facts. I've already come to my own conclusions. Now, we make presumptions concerning people, dealing with situations, but then also dealing with their personalities, dealing with their appearance, dealing with interactions. There have been some times that I've seen people I thought were so backwards. I mean, man, alive. They're quiet. And then you talk to somebody that really knows them, and they laugh. It's like, why are you laughing? It's like, they ain't quiet. I presumed it because of what little bit I knew, and I thought I was right, and then all of a sudden I find out I only got a small fraction of information, and I was building the entire case around for that person around a fraction of information, and I hadn't even gotten all of the sources to know what was really going on. Presumption can be very dangerous. That's how sometimes we think somebody is one thing when actually they're another. You realize in the church, that can happen so fast. Well, I can't work with that person. Why not? Well, we're just not going to get along. Why? Oh, I just know. There are times where, you know, history with a person does reveal things, and you just know. But most of the time, we assume or presume what is not actually there. Now, we're going to get into some more dangerous things when it comes to biblically what the Bible has to say about presumptuous sin and the real dangers. And I know I'm giving you some silly, maybe funny scenarios to a degree. But the last thing I want to give you in this right here is not only do we presume upon situations, we presume concerning people, but we actually have presumptions concerning ourselves. That's probably one of the most dangerous ones, because when a person needs help, but they presume they don't, they'll never actually receive help. When a person is in need of the Lord doing a work in their heart, because if God doesn't get a hold of them soon, they're heading down the wrong path, but they presume that they are just fine, they'll never listen to the Holy Spirit. When the Lord's trying to work for somebody to be broken so they can then be moldable, and he's really trying to do a serious spiritual work in the heart of that individual, and yet that individual is convinced, I don't have a problem. I'm good. I'm actually pretty spiritual. They presume upon themselves, about themselves. The Holy Spirit can't penetrate the hardened heart that has been produced by presumption. We have the besetting sins. We have presumptions about my priorities. Hey, the things that I think are important, those are the most important. I presume so. Sometimes the Lord says, I want to rearrange your priorities if you'll just listen. We're going to look at this when we come back to it next week, but Sometimes we presume our own strengths. Oh, I would never fall for that. I walk with the Lord too much for that. Oh, I'm too spiritually strong to fall for that one. Oh, boy, I tell you what, Satan ain't going to get me in that area. We presume. Because sometimes we presume we have more spiritual strength than we actually got. Sometimes we presume that we're more spiritually inclined than what we are. Sometimes we presume we hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us more than He actually does. Can I say this as we end for tonight with this? I've known people to tell me, I know that what I'm doing is right because God has told me it's right. And I can take them to Scripture and show them where the direction they're headed and the decision they're making, the Bible has some very specific things to say concerning those kind of actions. And I've looked and said, the Spirit of God will never contradict the Word of God. So how can you say the Holy Spirit has given you peace and God has told you to do this when the Bible says to do such things is wrong? That's a contradiction. Well, you know, I need to let everybody know about this person. I'm gonna make sure I'm gonna broadcast far and wide because God told me that I'm to be a voice of warning about this individual. Yeah, no, God didn't tell you that. Because I can take you to multiple passages of Scripture where the Bible talks about love your enemies, do good to them who despitefully use you. Now, that's a contradiction to somebody wanting to spread a whole bunch of gossip and try to destroy somebody's life, because it's my job to be the declaration, God gave me peace about this. No. We have to be very careful presuming what it is God's okay with and presuming what it is that God will allow in my life and presuming that I'm strong enough to handle this and presuming that it's going to be okay. Presumptuous sin can lead us down a very dark path. We must be very, very, very careful not to fall prey to this seemingly innocent giant. But he's actually very dangerous. And we'll dig in some more next Wednesday. We'll dig in some more. And we're going to specifically look at we presume strength, which leads to our failure. We presume strength. We must be very careful. So we'll get into details on that next Wednesday. Let's pray.